Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. Hello, radio friends. Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We've got the Marksman Quartet up for you. They're going to be singing a song entitled Mercy and Grace. And I tell you, I'm thankful for God's mercy and His grace today. And after the message, we're going to go into part two of the series message on Exodus chapter number 18, speaking about Moses' family. Hope it to be a blessing.
Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Wiped out my frown. Put a song in its place. Mercy. Mercy and grace, that's why you'll find this smile on my face. Once I was low, seeking the way, truth and the answer seemed far away, but I met the Savior. And I knelt to pray. He saved my soul.
That's right.
And that's why I say, mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Wiped out my friend. Put a song in its place. Mercy. That's why you'll find this smile on my face. If you are lost and you're seeking to draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. I once was a sinner with nothing to do. Now I'm so happy. I sing songs to you about mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Wiped out my frown. Put a song in its place. Mercy and grace. Mercy. That's why you'll find this smile on my face. If you'd like to partake of this mercy and grace at the Lord's table, there's always a space. It don't cost a nickel. And nobody pays.
That's right.
It's been taken care of. The Lord took our place. With mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Wiped out my frown. Put a song in its place. Mercy. That's why you'll find this smile on my face. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. God's gift and promise is mercy and grace.
Amen. Mercy and grace. That's the Marksman Quartet. And this is part two of the message on Exodus chapter number 18.
Now I want you to see there in chapter number 4, it's a continuation of chapter number 3 where Moses is speaking to God. So in chapter 4, Moses is speaking to the Lord out of the burning bush. But then after he leaves that burning bush, we get down there, I think it's verse number, look at verse number 18 with me. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which is in Egypt, and see whether they be alive, yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And he said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. So Moses was fleeing for his life there in Midian. But now he's getting the return orders from God and his father-in-law to go back to Egypt, all right? And we get over there and we get, look at verse number 20. Now you underline this verse number 20, this word all is right here. Look at right here. It says, and Moses took his wife and his sons, plural, y'all see that? And set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And these few, look, the next few verses, they seem to speak of the mission that God wants to accomplish while sending Moses back to Egypt. Verse 21 says this, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. We saw that take place in chapter number 12, amen. Pharaoh hardened his heart. He would not let the people go. And so death passed through the land. And guess what? God sent death, the angel through there. And anybody that didn't have the blood on the doorpost died that very night, amen. And we saw the firstborn of Pharaoh die in chapter number 12. Now notice this. All of a sudden the text goes from the Lord speaking about what we're going to do, telling about the mission, right? Then all of a sudden the Lord turns a curve and the Lord's saying, hey man, I'm about to kill you. You're about to drop dead. There's something in your life that's unholy and I'm about to get you. You can't keep going in this way. You're going to have to stop, fix what's wrong, and get it right, or you're going to die. So look at verse 24 says, and it came to pass, I mean just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. I mean, everything was going good until verse 24. And when we get to verse 24, all of a sudden the brakes come on. And Moses is standing under the x-ray eyes of God. And God said, hey, I'm about to kill you. You say, preacher, what in the world took place? Notice what happens right here. 25, excuse me. Then Zipporah. So we all of a sudden we just heard God tell Moses, I'm about to kill you. The next text says, then Zipporah, he's talking about his wife. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. All of a sudden we stop. I mean, man, all the mission statements, all these things are going great. God stops somebody and said, I'm about to kill you. Why? Because he hadn't circumcised his own sons. Now, there's a lot of writers that stopped right here, and they begin to talk about how that maybe Zipporah was holding, remember, she's a Midianite. And so there's a lot of writers that are talking about how that probably Zipporah, it was not in her customs and it was not in her faith that she should circumcise. So therefore, we're getting to a place where God's getting ready to use Moses, God's getting ready for him to be a leader. You got to lead by example, amen. And so, man, he's getting ready to go to Egypt. And then all of a sudden, God stops and says, look, you can't go down there and expect them to live right if you're not going to keep your household right either. And so, man, what takes place? We find that Zipporah now has to stand there and she performs the operation of circumcision on her child. And the Bible says that Moses is holding him. But notice how she says it. Notice how she says it. She says it this way. Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So let him go. So he let him go. Then she said, notice here, didn't say it one time, but she said it twice. Thou art a bloody husband to me. Do you know what she's doing? She said it for the first son, and then she's turned around and said it for the second son. Now, I haven't had a commentator once say anything about that, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe the reason why she said that twice is because she saw that act twice. And boy, she was saying, thou art a bloody husband to me. Now, Now, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. I would not bring all this bloody mess up without bringing you to something, all right? So the reason that God was angry with Moses was over the failure to circumcise his sons. And so it seems to me that the cause of this failure was heavily directed upon Zipporah, his wife. For some reason, I get the idea that Zipporah was holding back. I think that Moses had said at home, this is what we got to do. But Zipporah's not getting on board. I don't want to cut on my boy. I don't want nothing to happen to my son. She's been taking care of the children. I get this idea that all of a sudden God stops the progress of leadership in Moses' life until he takes care of the things that were at home. Can I tell you, you can't expect, man, great things to happen in your home until you get right with God, amen. You can't expect great things to happen in your wife or your children or anything until, man, you become man of the house and you follow some things according to God's standards and God's ways. If you don't get that right, you're never going to see success in the home. So Moses seems to have a problem. We find that at once Zipporah performs the operation on her son. And then in hot anger, she reproaches Moses with the words, "A bloody husband thou art." Now, wait a minute. Moses is trying to do some things to get their family dynamics back in order. And she doesn't like it. "A bloody husband thou art." Instead of saying, "Look, I understand that this is what God wants. I don't understand why that God wants it. But because God's who he is, we're just going to obey. We're just going to fall in line." She's a bucking, and it's all Moses' fault because Moses is God. Y'all see what I'm saying? There seemed to be a division in the home spiritually because she's not on board with what God has commanded to do. So we find out in the text now. So this seems to be a picture or a type showing us in disobedience of Zipporah in the matter of circumcision. Now, we see this failure of circumcision, and when she does this, it points to the failure of Israel under the law. The separation of Zipporah from Moses was because of a bloody husband, the Bible says, and it tells us of Israel's rejection from God through the offense of the cross. Now, think about this. What was the thing that caused Israel to separate themselves from Jesus? You think about what I'm saying. I'm talking about, man, these people knew the law, they knew the law, but when it came to Christ and Christ's sufferings, they missed him because of blood. You say, what are you talking about? Think about, I'm going to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, and I want you to look at verse number 22. Now remember, the Jews, remember who the Jews are. The Jews are descendants of Abraham, all right? Through that line of Abraham. Abraham beget Isaac. Isaac beget Jacob. Jacob beget the children of Israel, all right? And so it's through that line. That's the Jew, all right? Anything outside that family is what we call a Gentile. You and I are Gentiles today. I mean, if we're not a direct descendant, we are Gentiles. I know that we all came from Adam. I know all that. But listen, we're Gentiles this morning. Now look at verse number 22. Y'all there with me? "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." Look right here, verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." It was the shedding of blood. It was that shedding of blood that was a stumbling block for the Jew themselves. They couldn't understand it. Listen, when Christ came and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," they said, "Oh, that's great and that's wonderful." But they could not understand in their minds and in their hearts that Christ was the Messiah because he's going to have to go to the cross and die. They were looking for a king.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app, where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.